Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I've read on a little farther than what I did the other mornings, but let me keep going here. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And there's the period which ends that paragraph. Praise God. A lot of things contained in this portion of Scripture. And I'm asking the Lord to help us today. Let's pray, if you would. Ask God to give us ears to hear. Amen. Lord, we do pray that today, on this final morning of the Holiness Convention 2014, we're grateful, Lord, for all that you've already done in these services and all that you've already said. Lord, we pray now that you, Lord, would anoint these lips to speak your word. Please give me strength in my voice that I might be able to convey to this people the things that you've laid in my heart. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us. And I'll give you the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen and amen. Everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, in the sound booth, would you mind to give me just a little bit more monitor? That might help me with my voice, you know, so I don't strain quite so bad here. I appreciate that. And I'm going to ask these two brothers on the front row, would you mind to read a couple of scriptures for me this morning? Just a moment. Come on up here then. I've got them here. You can look them up in your Bible and read them out of the Bible or read them as I printed them off there. Trust me, they are King James Version. And let's see here. Would you give that one over there to the Christian school principal, teacher? We want to see if he can read, right? Amen. Glad to have Brother Isaac with us this morning, Brother Randy's son. Y'all be seated. It'll be a little bit later on. Just be ready, all right? Praise God. I've been trying to preach to you this burden of my heart. I feel like the Lord laid it on my heart to preach to us about the Holy Ghost in this meeting. To remind us that we are Pentecostal people, aren't we? And there's a great attack against this Pentecostal heritage of ours, and we're gonna have to really pull together here if we're gonna preserve this Pentecostal heritage. We're gonna have to be hungry for the Holy Ghost, and emphasize the Holy Ghost. And pray to receive the Holy Ghost. And so, in these three mornings, I didn't know for sure when I came that I would actually be preaching a series of messages. But such as it is, I preached to you, Be Filled Part 1, Be Filled Part 2, and Be Filled Part 3 today. Now, in the first message, I told you about Barnabas and how he was an example of a man full of the Holy Ghost. So he was our example. Yesterday, I tried to preach to you a little bit about the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, today, I want to look at these scriptures again, but I want to talk to you about the exchange that is found here in these scriptures. The exchange. I told you up front that I probably should have went at it the opposite direction, laid out my thesis, built the argument, and then used the example, you know, to confirm it. But I've worked my way backwards. And this portion of Scripture not only emphasizes, even commands for us to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but really, buried in here, I think that you'll see, we're being offered a choice. We're being offered a choice. Amen. You know, the Bible is a wonderful book, isn't it? Praise God. How many of you like the Bible? How many of you love the Bible? Hey, this wonderful, wonderful book. And I recommend that you read it. And yet there are some scriptures that the truths contained of it are simple and obvious. You know, they just come right off the page to us. Others, I think, are like eating nuts. You have to crack the shell and dig it out to get it. But it's there, and when you eat it, it's delicious. Hello? For all of you East Coast people, you know, that we could think of that as pecans or pecans, however you want to say it, right? And you got to crack the shell and dig it out to get it. But we've got some West Coast people, too. The woods out there in California, they might be thinking more about almonds and pistachios. Either way, if you want to enjoy it, you've got to crack the shell and dig it out, and it's there. Amen. And so I'm gonna try that this morning. Praise God. I think that here, when Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit," there's something more going on here. There's something that we need to look at. Because of the context that we've been reading these last few days, he's talking about walking circumspectly, wisdom, redeeming the time, the days are evil all around about us, and then he goes on to talk about, you know, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, if you read through there and you're just flowing with the words, it just doesn't seem to fit. You know, he's talking about, and all of a sudden he says, by the way, don't get drunk. You know? It just doesn't, it's not fitting the context. But he does say that. He does say to us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I think that there's a possibility that he is intentionally here doing a couple of things. Three things, actually. I think that, first of all, he's making a comparison. He's making a comparison between drunk with wine and filled with the Spirit. Amen. A comparison here. And that word drunk, of course, means to be intoxicated. And it means to be under the influence of. Intoxicated, influenced by wine. And then, in using that, by the way, Paul uses a lot of illustrations in his messages, and sometimes even from the sports world. He's talking about running so that you might obtain and win the prize, and he throws those things in. And so, in some ways, maybe it's sort of tongue-in-cheek. I'm not undermining the authority of what he's saying. I'm just saying that I suspect that there's more here. He's not just saying, don't get drunk. Amen. He's making a comparison. The world gets drunk on wine. They're under the influence of it, and they're intoxicated by it. We don't want to be that. We want to be intoxicated with and under the influence of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. How many of you believe we can be? Woo, hallelujah. I've seen some of you here this week, and it looks like you've been under the influence of something. Amen. And then it's not just a comparison, but he's making a contrast. And it's a stark contrast. He shows us here the results of being drunk with wine. Now, and then he shows us the results of being filled or drunk with is the comparison with the Spirit. The end result of both of those. Now let me just show you here in verse number 18, where when he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," that's a little tricky phrase there, and we need to be careful, because some people want to associate the word excess there with the wine, and they try to make it sound like it's okay to drink a little bit, it's just so you're not drinking excessively. All right? But that's not what he's saying. He is saying don't be drunk with wine, because the end result of it is excess. wherein in the drunkenness there is excess. And so he is showing that actually this word excess means or is associated with the word riot or debauchery, a complete breakdown in behavior, a lack of control, a lack of self-control. And that makes sense, because if you're under the influence of the drink, then the drink is controlling you and you're not controlling yourself. There's an old proverb. It's not a proverb from the Bible, so it's just really basic and basically an old saying, but I like it. And somebody said it's a Chinese proverb, but they say, first the man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. Amen. So to be under the influence of that wine then is to relinquish self-control. And not having control, you get involved in all kinds of excess, all kinds of debauchery, and the end result of it is such. And this is interesting, because the scripture tells us in other places, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not to the same excess of riot. Amen. They think it's strange because we don't run to the same excess of riot that they run to, the uncontrollable behaviors of the world. Amen. Is my voice troubling you today? Am I a little raspy to you? Somebody say amen this morning. Praise God. And by the way, that famous story of the prodigal son that we love so much. We say prodigal son, but a lot of times we say prodigal as if we're talking about the wayward son. But that's not what the word prodigal means. Amen. The word prodigal, now he is a wayward son and he has gone to the far country. But the word prodigal itself, first of all, is not in the Bible. But it's a descriptive word that simply means wasteful. He is a wasteful son. And the story is about him taking his inheritance and going out and wasting it. And the Bible says that he wasted his substance on riotous living. When he got home, now we don't know for sure if it's supposition or if the older brother had heard reports or what. But the older brother said that he spent his substance on harlots. So we don't know if he knew that to be true or he was just assuming. But the reality is, this young man went to the far country and he wasted his substance, wasted his life, wasted his time on riotous living. And then he began to be in want. Hallelujah. Amen. The excess of it. Now, I really feel like the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. Amen. All night long I felt him in my subconscious mind. I was up till after 1, but even after I went to sleep, I felt the Lord speaking to me in my subconscious mind. And I got up this morning and I feel like God wants to help us in this service this morning. And let me just tell you, I believe that somebody in this service today needs to make the exchange. Amen. You need to make the exchange. There'll be a choice for you to make here today. Praise God. But let me just say before I get too elusive here, I'm not undermining the reality of what he's saying about wine and drunkenness. It is a blight upon our society. Amen. We are against the drinking of alcoholic beverages in any form. Amen. Now this word translated here, wine, is referring mostly to the fermented drink. And the fermentation is what makes it alcoholic. So any beverage that has fermentation in it, that has the alcoholic content of it, falls into the category of wine. So that means beer, whiskey, rum, vodka, all of it. So I'm just simply saying and I just suspect that there's a lot of you here this morning that are, you know, have this problem with alcoholic beverages. I really just suspect that. But I'm just saying that if you say, well, the Bible says wine, it doesn't say vodka, or the, you know, what's wrong with a little bit of beer? it's the influence of that drink that he's referring to. Amen. I believe that alcohol is a serious problem in the United States of America. It is still, and let me just share these statistics with you about alcoholic beverages in America. Alcohol is still, according to the Center for Disease Control and other surveys, it is still the number one drug problem in America, alcohol. There are more than 12 million alcoholics in the United States. Three-fourths, according to the statistics, of all adults drink alcohol. That puts us in a small minority, doesn't it? 6% of those drink are alcoholics. Americans spend a total of $197 million a day on alcoholic beverages. Amen. In the United States, a person is killed in an alcohol-related car accident every 30 minutes. Just pausing to let that sink in. Amen. In the 2 hours that we will be in church here today, according to these statistics, at least 4 people are going to die and go into eternity because of alcohol-related accidents. Nearly 7 million persons aged 12 to 20 are binge drinkers. From 12 to 20. My wife has been a school teacher in times past, and one time she got to school early in the morning. Was he a fifth grader that I'm thinking of? Because I've told this story before. Sixth grader. Amen. Come into her classroom in the morning. Amen. What, 8 o'clock or so starting school? Maybe he's a little bit late. 8:30, 9 o'clock if he got there a little bit late. A fifth grader comes to school drunk. Amen. That's sad. That's sad. But the Bible, the statistics show that nearly 7 million school-age kids are binge drinkers. 75% of all high school seniors report being drunk at least once. Kids who begin drinking before the age of 15 are 4 times more likely to become alcoholics. People who with higher education are more likely to drink. Now, there's a good excuse not to go to college, right? The U.S. market size, now listen, 9.4 billion gallons of alcoholic beverages sold every year. 9.4 billion gallons of it. $197.8 billion in retail sales. Hey man, alcoholism. Actually, there's a website called learnaboutalcoholism.com that also found out that alcohol is related to crimes in America. 73% of all felonies have alcohol involved in it some way or another. 73% of all child beatings are the result of alcohol. 41% of rapes are alcohol related. 81% of wife beatings are alcohol related. 72% of stabbings are alcohol related. And 83% of all homicides, killings and murders are alcohol related. I think the church has a pretty strong foundation to condemn alcoholic beverages. Amen. And this in an hour when a major Pentecostal denomination is tossing around the idea of bringing it up at their convention to vote on whether to allow social drinking. Amen. I'm telling you, that's disgusting, church. That is disgusting. How in the world can a church-going person, knowing anything about these statistics, in any way defend the use of alcoholic beverages? Woo, my. Y'all didn't come expecting to hear this on a Saturday morning in Holiness Convention. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this very verse that we're studying, he said, "Let Christians, when about to indulge in a glass of wine, think of this abomination. Let them remember that their body should be the temple of the Holy Spirit rather than a receptacle of intoxicating drinks. Was any man ever made a better Christian by the use of wine? And the church answers, was any minister ever better suited to counsel an anxious sinner, to pray, or to preach the gospel by drinking alcoholic beverages? Absolutely not. Let the history of wine drinking and intemperate clergymen answer back to us and condemn the use of alcoholic beverages. Amen. We cannot defend in any way, shape, or form even a slight toleration for the drinking of alcoholic beverages. All right, brothers, this is where you come in. I want you to read these scriptures here. These fellows have been a big help to us, haven't they? Sitting up here in the front row every service. I asked Brother Lamar to read, but he didn't feel quite up to it today. Brother, we've been praying for you. Amen. We're trusting the Lord's going to touch you and help you. Praise God. Y'all have been praying for Lamar. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he didn't feel quite up to it. But brother, read this scripture here.
Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth the bottle to him, and maketh him to drink also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness.
The Bible condemning, you know, giving the bottle, or putting the bottle, or selling the bottle, or in any way influencing, amen, your neighbor getting strong drink.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Absolutely. Praise God. And now the school teacher, let's see if he can do it.
Proverbs 23 and 31. Look thou not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself awry.
It's disgusting. Don't even look at it. Don't have anything to do with it. Amen. Praise God. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. Amen. Wine is a mocker. It's a mocker. It's destructive. I know this because I was raised in an alcoholic's home. Amen. I saw it firsthand. The last memory that I have of my father in our house before they were permanently divorced and he moved to the other side of the country. The last thing I remember is my father drunk, had my mother on the floor choking her to death. I was 12 years old. My dad was over 6 foot tall. I was a little boy, but I saw what was happening. I picked up a chair in the house and threatened to hit my dad with it if he didn't let my mother up off of the floor. And he walked out of the door and I never saw him again until long after LaDonna and I were married, and we went to Connecticut and tried to find him, and did. And I have seen the results. I have seen, amen, the fights. I have seen with my own eyes the fights and the violence and the vulgarness and the ugliness of the effects of alcohol on people. Amen. Be not drunk with wine, because it leads to all kinds of excess, all kinds of debauchery. Amen. Everybody that is against the use of liquor, holler amen this morning. Praise God. But listen to me. In the modern sense, and I think in the context of what we're saying here, we could easily also say, be not high on marijuana. Woo. I don't care if they legalize it in Colorado. They're talking about legalizing it in Illinois. It's not going to be long. It's going to be legal in the whole United States. But be not high on marijuana, because, amen, wherein is excess. Praise God. I'm telling you, any of those mind-altering drugs, I believe, are condemned in this verse. They are repudiated in the heart and mind of a Christian. And it has no part in our life. They are destructive in every way. And one of the great fears right now is the rapid rise of heroin use. That was popular back in the 60s and the 70s. I never got involved in it. Heroin was highly addictive. I didn't have any interest in that. And we thought that heroin was fading off the scene, and it's coming back now stronger than ever before. Not just a strong recreational drug, but stronger, purer than it's ever been. That's why we're reading about celebrities that are dying of overdoses of heroin, because it is so strong. And listen, 38,000 people last year died of drug overdoses. Many of them heroin. Heroin is a horrible thing. I'm just throwing this out in case there's any young person here today that's being pulled on by the wrong crowd and being pulled on by those that are running to excess. I want to tell you, it's a dangerous thing, a dangerous thing. You can become addicted to heroin instantaneously, one time, and then live and die a horrible death. Just this week, amen. But just this week, I read that tragic story of that mother of four and her boyfriend that jumped off the George Washington Bridge in New York City. Anybody read that story or hear it? It just happened just 2-3 days ago, maybe four, jumped off the George Washington Bridge. I've been on that bridge, literally. I hitchhiked across the George Washington Bridge, and I stood right in the middle of that bridge, and to think about them jumping to their deaths there. But this mother left a note to her four children, and she said to them, "I'm sorry that it has ended this way," and on, but one of the things she said is, "Please, at some point in the future, try to remember your mommy before she became a heroin addict." Lord, help me this morning. Now, having said that, let me tell you this. I think that there's something symbolic here also. I think that there's something symbolic here. Yes, it's literal condemnation of alcoholic beverage, wine, and drunkenness, and the excess that is associated with it. But because of him referring to those excesses, the debauchery, the rioting, all of the things associated with it, I think that symbolically this wine represents all of the pleasures of the world. Amen. I think that it refers to the drunkenness of this world on all of the things that distract them from what is truly important. Amen. And I think that there's a possibility that that's why Paul is interjecting this here, to make it clear to Christians, don't be drunk on the things of this world. Be filled with the Spirit. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I got my jug here this morning. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you can read it way back there, but it says, "The world." The world. Amen. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Don't be drunk on the world. Let me remind you that there's a vivid picture in the book of Revelation where there's this, this is strange here, but there's a picture of this beast that comes up out of the sea and has got, you know, heads and horns and all of that. And then sitting on the back of that beast is a harlot. And she's all dressed up in, you know, in her harlot robes and the jewels and all of that, and there's been a lot of debate about what this represents. The simple version and most common one is that the beast represents the political systems of this world, and the harlot on that beast is some kind of a religious system. All right, I didn't expect you to say amen. I mean, there's different theories, so I'm just pausing to say the possibilities here. And that a harlot on the beast has a cup in her hand. She has a cup in her hand. Amen. And when God begins to condemn her, that harlot, and the Bible describes that she has in her forehead the names of blasphemies, the names of fornication. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? And she's got this cup in her hand, and God is condemning her and saying, because she has made the kings of this world drunk, drunk with her fornications and her blasphemies. Amen. I bring that up just simply to say the symbolism there is you can get drunk on other things besides wine. There is a drunkenness of the world. The kings of the world are drunk, amen, with the wine of her fornication and her blasphemies and so on and so forth. Let me tell you, we're witnessing a world that is drunk on fornication. A world that is drunk on sexual perversions. A world that is drunk with all kinds of sensuality. Amen. That's why even lawmakers, amen, they stumble into the chambers and vote in favor of homosexual marriages. Amen. Drunk on the perversions of this world. Amen. We're all one big happy family. Let everybody have fun. Let everybody do what they want to do. Amen. While the pornography industry is growing in leaps and bounds, and not just a printed page, but on the internet, people addicted to all kinds of horrible images. It's even affecting the church. Amen. Men and women, if we're not careful, we're also becoming affected by it. We've got a world that is drunk on the fornications of this system. How did a society get to this point where child abuse is a real problem, amen, in our country? Disgusting. Amen. Debauchery. It is the drunkenness of this world. Amen. You talk about running to excess. We've got a world that's drunk on sports. Drunk on sports. This is Holiness Convention, right? Amen. Drunk on sports. I'm not just talking about bouncing a basketball around in the driveway. I'm talking about billions of dollars being spent. Amen. Millions of hours being spent. I'm talking about 40, 50,000 people jamming a stadium and screaming at the top of their voice. Amen. With their clothes off in the middle of a cold winter. Amen. And by the way, supported by and advertised by the alcohol industry. Drunk on sports. Football, basketball, baseball, one season to the other. We can't take a break. No, sir. Keep it coming. Amen. Give me another one. Amen. Drunk on the sports of this world. And then we've got the rise of prize fighting and not just boxing with gloves on, but now it's ultimate fighting with gloves off and mixed martial arts and all of that, and people watching two men in a cage fight like animals. Amen. Drunk. I'm telling you, the world is drunk on the wine. Amen. The wine of fun and pleasure and sports. The world, man. I got a friend, young man. For whatever reason, he got fascinated with MMA. Some of you boys know about it, mixed martial arts. He decided he wanted to do it. Found out that there was a trainer in our area there near St. Louis, was a professional. Now he opened up a gym and he was training MMA. And this boy from church decided that he wanted to be in MMA. And so he trained. And he got ready for his first fight. And he got in the ring. And the very first fight, the guy kicked his front teeth out. Boy, didn't we have fun. Boy, that was a blast. Boy, give me a chance, I'll kick his teeth out, yeah. Drunk! drunk on entertainments, continuous stream of disgusting inventions of imagination coming out of Hollywood and all over the world. Amen. 300 or more 24/7, amen, TV channels because we can't get enough. Video games, online gaming. I love you young people. I do. I'm going to tell you, when I hear stories like I heard, they say, Brother Ray Gill is still here. I saw him come in last night. We do a little youth camp down. Brother Chris and Sister Olivia are here, amen, somewhere. The youth camp down there in South Carolina. I got to talking to some of the young men last year down there about gaming, and they said, Brother Blue, we know boys, young men, that are so addicted to online gaming because they fight their way, you know, to a certain level, and they're trying to, you know, get to the top of the level. They said, we know there's some that are so addicted to it, they wear adult diapers. I'm not trying to be rude and crude and disgusting to you this morning. I'm just thinking of a world that's got drunk. Drunk on money and materialism. Now we know that these have been hard times the last few years, a recession, and a lot of people have lost their jobs, and not everybody's like this. But, amen, there's been a lot of people that saw the blood in the water, and like sharks, they ran in. Amen, they saw the opportunity to make money, and so the gap is widening. I'm not condemning capitalism. I still believe we've got the best system on planet Earth. I'm not in favor of communism. Amen. But the greed of man, you worked your way to the top. You've done all right. You got money in the bank, but he still wants more. Amen. He's got the biggest house in the neighborhood. He's got the biggest garage and cars and all of those garages, but he wants more. Amen. There's a feverish drunkenness that gets a hold of him. He's an alcoholic. He's a moneyaholic. Brother, I want to put you on the spot. Do you got a dollar in your pocket? Have you got a dollar bill of some kind? Because I didn't have my wallet. Any kind of a bill there? Praise God. Oh, 10. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. All right, let me go on and preach something else. Oh, wow. $10. $10. I don't want him to get it. Put it in my pocket. No. No, 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 no. If I take my coat off, he might see it and he might get it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to dig a hole in the ground. I'm going to put that $10 in it. I got $10. It's not just millionaires that are drunk on materialism and money. There are misers that are drunk on money. I knew of a man when I lived in West Virginia, a man there that we all thought was strange. He lived in a little shack, I mean a fallen down shack on the side of a hill. And we all felt sorry for him. And listen, he was not a drug addict, and it turns out he wasn't an alcoholic. But he was a miser, and after he died, and they went down there to investigate and clean the place up, he had been living on beans, amen, for 30 years, so there was bean cans everywhere, but in the bean cans and all around, there's $10 there. I'm not putting it in the bank. I don't trust the banks. I'm not investing in Wall Street. I don't trust Wall Street. I'm not going to invest in a business that might require something out of me. No, but I've got my money. Crazy. Y'all looking at me funny this morning. Be not drunk on the wine of this world. Its pleasures or its treasures, or its alcohol, or its drugs, or its money. All of the debauchery and evil and wickedness and riotous living that goes along with it. Amen. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's lemonade. This pure water. Amen. Somebody said, life hands you lemons, make lemonade. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter how much sugar you put in it, it's still sour. Lemonade. Now, I'm not condemning lemonade. I just wanted to make the contrast. The world. The Spirit. The wine of this world. The Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got me a cup. My soul is thirsty for something. There's an emptiness down inside of me that's craving something. I got to have a drink. You may be at this very place right here, right now. I don't know. Amen. At a crossroads, at a place of decision. And the Apostle Paul puts it in two categories. The drunkenness of wine, the world, or being filled with the Spirit. One or the other. Amen. You got to make a choice. Praise God. You can come over here and be drunk with the wine of this world if you want to. But would you mind if I told you this morning, I've already tried this sour stuff. I've already tried this sour stuff. I've already been here. And some of you have been here too. I know what it's like to be high on the drugs of this world and the drink of this world. I've seen the effects of it. I wish you would just take my word for it. Brother, they testified about you getting saved, you know, yesterday in the dining hall. Would it embarrass you if I had you stand up just for a minute? Amen. A brand new convert. He had been saved once, but the strong pull of the world, amen, he went back out. He told me afterwards, he went back out. Amen. I'm glad you're back home, brother. I'm glad you're back home. What's your name, brother? What's your name? Daryl? Aren't you sick of this stuff? Aren't you sick of the world? I mean, we didn't find any pleasure and happiness in that out here. It was a trick. It was a deception. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is deceptive. Amen. The world is deceptive. I don't care all of the millions of dollars of advertisement. It's a deception. It's a lie. There's nothing satisfying here. We've done it all. We've been here. Praise God. Give me a drink of some fresh water. Hallelujah. Ah, praise God. That's what I need. Give me the Spirit. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not thirsty for the world. I'm thirsty for the Spirit. I'm thirsty for a Holy Ghost revival. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to find my satisfaction in Him. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. You might say, well, you don't have as much fun as they have out there in the world. Well, it's a matter of perspective. Amen. So you say, well, out there they get to drinking and they go to dancing. Amen. Well, guess what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That story at Pentecost, I'm almost done. Amen. That story at Pentecost, the Bible says, cloven tongues of fire, mighty rushing wind. They were speaking in tongues. And then the crowd came gathering together to see what was going on. Amen. 3,000 people are going to get saved. But when Peter stands out on the balcony to preach to that great crowd, he says, men and brethren, these are not drunken as you suppose. Hallelujah. What's making them think that they're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? Amen. I think it's because there was some shouting going on up there in the upper room. I told you yesterday they started out sitting when the Holy Ghost fell, but I don't think they stayed sitting. I think that they were affected by, influenced by, and intoxicated with an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Men and brethren, they're not drunken as you suppose. Oh, they're drunk all right. Amen. Amen. He didn't say they're not drunk. He said they're not drunk as you suppose. Amen. Oh, they're drunk all right. Woo, hallelujah. They're just not drunk on the wine of this world. They found a new source. They praise God. Amen. My personal opinion is they were jumping up and down like we do. I think there was some dancing going on. Maybe even some running around. I don't know. Can't prove it. But something made the crowd think that they were drunk. Hallelujah. And Paul said, amen, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Hallelujah. Pardon me. Just need to talk to myself. Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, you see that wild man up there talking to himself? Yep. Praise God. They thought that of David too. Worst time in his life. Families in distress. The men that he was leading were in confusion. They started blaming him. The enemy had come in and attacked their families. It's your fault, David. But the Bible says David talked to himself. Amen. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hang in there, David. Come on, David. You're going to make it. You're going to be all right. You got the Lord on your side. You got the Lord watching out for you. Praise God. If God be for you, who can be against you? Praise God. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a little drunk here this morning. Praise God. Pardon me. Amen. I'm telling you. David even said, I will say to my soul. Praise God. I will say to my soul. Praise God. Soul. Amen. Soul. Why art thou disquieted within me? Praise God. Cheer up. Trust in the Lord. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. You talk about singing. Amen. The world talks about their wild parties and their, you know, revved up rock music and all of that. Praise God. Guess what? We sing too. I think we sing better. We got a song in our heart. And Brother Eddie Dean, even us that can't carry a tune in a bucket, sometime get alone and a song comes pouring out. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come here, fellas. These are fresh cups. Come on, stand up here for a second. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You thirsty? Thirsty? Yeah, you saw me drinking that water? It reminded you how thirsty you are? All right, I got a drink for you. Praise God. Just present your cup here. All right. What? This isn't what you want? What about you? This isn't what you want? Amen. Praise God. Well, guess what? You can't have both. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. You gotta decide right here, right now. The wine of this world or the Spirit. Amen. You can't be full of the Spirit if you're half full of the world. Because if you're half full of the world and you try to add the Spirit in there, then you're only half full of the Spirit. Besides that, they're all mixed up. It doesn't make sense. You can't do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got to make a choice. It's one or the other. Amen. If you want this, you've got to exchange that. Do you see it now? Do you agree with me that the Apostle Paul is putting us in a position where we have to choose? Amen. He said there is the wine of the world that leads to all kinds of fun and pleasure and debauchery and riotous living. And he said, I don't recommend that. Amen. Don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. But be filled with the Spirit. How about this, boys? Is this what you want? Praise God. Oh, glory. Amen. Oh, praise God. I'm glad you came to Holiness Convention. Praise God. Go ahead, take your drink. Amen. There's more where that came from. Oh, glory. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Be filled. Amen. Somebody get thirsty. Somebody get thirsty for God. Amen. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I'm thirsty for God. Thirsty for the living God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother, exchange that cup for this. Hold that for a second, all right? And hold it so they can see the words on it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's close that lid there. Just want to make a mess. Hold that till you like that. Now follow me. We've got to offer them a choice. Amen. What you want? The world? The Spirit? One or the other. What you want? The world? The Spirit? You young people, is this really what you want? Is this what you want? Anybody thirsty? Anybody want revival? Anybody want a move of God? Anybody want, amen, to be filled with the Spirit? Let me tell you, the joy of the Lord is still our strength. The joy of the Lord is still our strength. Oh, come on, let's lift our hands and praise Him. Just stand right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, we haven't made altar calls in the day services. We've just kind of left that, you know, to the Lord. And I'm not going to push this because we've got other things on the schedule for today. Praise God. And you can pray through tonight even. But there's the possibility that someone this morning is right here between the two. And you're trying to decide. You're trying to decide. Amen. I want to recommend to you this morning, praise God, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Come on. You're going to need His help. You need His power. Amen. Anybody here need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Be filled with the Spirit. It's God's will. It's His desire for you. It's what He's offering you. Be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. If you felt compelled, amen, to run up here and stand right by that water jug, amen, or to walk up here and just stand by that water jug, it might just help you, amen, in your pursuit. It might just help you to make up your mind that this is really what you want more than anything else. More than anything else. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I have some more of that? Brother, can I have some more of that? Hallelujah. How about you? How about you? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Holy, holy God. Holy God. Praise the Lord. You know, when I talk about this dramatic difference between the two, I'm just simply saying this morning too, you know, in your own heart, decide what is truly important to you. Decide what's truly important to you. Be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Is there anyone here this morning that in the very real sense, you're in the aisle, you're between the two, you need to be saved this morning. You need to be saved. You need to turn your back on the world and all of the calamities that come with it and pursue God. Give your life to Jesus and the things of the Spirit. Is there anyone here today that's not a Christian, that's not saved, a backslider away? Somebody between the two? Is there anything that has been said in this meeting that's got a hold of you that makes you feel like you can't put it off any longer? Right now, come on. Come on.